Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 115 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltak, and thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I'm going to explain to you why you're getting a podcast a week earlier. And also, 90% of what we're going to talk about today is good news. And that's really exciting. That's one of the reasons you're getting an early podcast, because there's some things going on and I want it to be time relevant. But there's going to be a lot of good news in this one. So you know what? Enjoy it. I'm really enjoying actually having a few good, beneficial things to say rather than, the sky's always falling. So I hope you will enjoy it as much as I am. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. Thanks to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate their partnership. You can check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And of course, our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR, which is supporting gun owners, not just hunters. So we really appreciate their partnership. They do a lot of other great work. And if you want to find out what that is, you can go to saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. So the stuff that I want to talk to you about, number one, I'll tell you why you're getting a podcast a week early. And the reason for that is, number one, like I said in the intro, there's a lot of interesting things going on, relevant things that you need to know about right now. And they're positive things, so that's exciting. But the other reason is that in the next podcast, we're going to have Tracy Wilson here in person in the studio. And you're going to get to see sort of the new setup that we have for interviewing live guests. So, you know, who knows where the podcast will go from here, but it'll be a lot of fun. And so she's going to be here the week after next. So rather than to do a podcast next week, which would have been the regular 2-week mark, and then do another one, basically I had to do one back to back regardless. So that's why you're getting one now and not later. All right. First thing I want to talk about is that last week when I was producing the podcast, I was doing a podcast and I was doing a television show, and they're similar in some ways, but the intro is different. What we're calling it's different. When I do the TV show, there's a broadcast timer, like right under the camera, that I have to watch. You know, I only have 3 minutes or 6 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever. And so there's a lot going on, right? Because again, you know, I'm not somebody that, did this kind of stuff for my whole career, where I'm reading teleprompters and broadcast timers and stuff. I don't have a producer going like, go, you know, kind of thing, or, you know, 2 minutes left or whatever. So, I had done a couple of takes of the TV show until I got the right one. I did a couple of takes of the podcast, and what I forgot to add was, our cord update. And it's funny because we live in a world, and certainly in Canada, in a country where there's so much dishonesty and so much, you know, manipulation and so much injustice now more than ever. I've been around a while. It's never been more unjust in Canada to be just a regular citizen trying to mind your own business and make a living. And it's made everybody really cynical. So, and including me, I'm just as cynical, but I try to control it. But it's funny because I didn't even realize that in the second take that I did in the podcast that I didn't talk about I didn't give you the court update. And then right away, I think it was the next day or something, I was looking at some comments, and it was like, you clickbaited us. You never talked about the court case. And I'm like, I clickbaited you. Yeah, it was an evil plan from the get-go. But I mean, I don't blame people for being upset and cynical, because it's a tough place to be, where we are as gun owners, or where people are when they're making their own decisions, what they're going to put into their body, or their own political alignment, or they want to say something on social media, or they want to do any number of things where all these people just come out of the woodwork and attack them. It's a really, really difficult time, and I get that. But anyway, just so you know, you're getting your court update now. And I did do a court update in the last episode. You just didn't see it because I didn't use that take, and I didn't know until later. All right, here's the court update. So important stuff going on. On or about April 25th this month. So if I upload this tonight, what is it? It's April 20th. It's Wednesday. So if I upload this and you're watching it on the Wednesday, on the 25th, on or about which is next week. Is it next week? Yeah, it's next week. Next Monday, I think, something like that. We're going to be submitting our motion record. And what that, and this is a big deal, because what the motion record is, it's our legal argument, the record itself, basically. And I'll talk about that in a second. But it's also the application. It's all of the transcripts of the affiants, right? The people that provided affidavits and their cross-examinations. Like, there's a big data dump coming on or about April 25th. If it's filed on the 25th, then sometime on the 25th or the 26th, you will see an update on propertyjustice.ca, and you'll have access to all those documents. Those documents are going to be extremely interesting. So if you want to read something interesting about the case that you paid for, that's the time to do it. So the cross-examinations are going to be very interesting, especially a couple of them. And I don't want to draw too much attention to them, but you can imagine which ones would be the most interesting to read. And I was there and I watched them, and they were definitely interesting and entertaining to watch live. But anyway, all that aside, what's also in there in the motion record is our basically a document that is our case. Now, I'm not a lawyer. This is a lot of this stuff I'm just understanding from the process, right? I'm learning as I go. But basically, typically, it's my understanding, I could have it wrong, but typically you get 20 or 30 pages to make your case. And what this is this document is meant for the court, for the judge to say, listen, give me all your legal arguments, give me all the arguments of your case, and you can refer to other evidence and that's fine, but give that all to me in a 20 or 30 page document so I can read the government's case and all of your cases so I can be prepared when we get our trial, right? Our day in court, our hearing. Now, we were able to negotiate that up, is my understanding, to 50 pages because this is actually a complex case. And at least for the CCFR, we're asking a constitutional question on top of just, you know, roll back the OIC because it's illegal, right? So we're going that extra mile. One of the reasons why this case has been so expensive. So if you read anything, read that. It's 50 pages long, and it's the legal arguments and the legal foundations of everything that we're claiming in the case. So really important. So you're going to get that whole data dump somewhere around, like I say, April 25th or 26th. And once it's public, then I will upload links to everything on propertyjustice.ca. All right. The other things I wanted to cover with you real quick was the, we've got a TikTok account. We've brought on a little bit of help with our social media. We want to make sure that we're putting as much content out there as possible. So we have a TikTok account. If you go to TikTok, I did it for the first time, just like literally just now, because I'm not on TikTok. I'm barely on Twitter and barely on Facebook, not on Instagram and not on a bunch of other platforms. I just don't have time. But if you go to TikTok, you search for the CCFR or CCFR, you'll find our account. And it's very new and it's doing really, really well. Like some of the videos that we have on there are getting, I think there's only 4 videos there right now, but we have like 20,000 views, something like 11,000, 20,000 views on some of them. So pretty cool. So we're going to be cultivating that account as well. And, one more thing, YouTube is interesting, and I don't know whether there's any tomfoolery going on at YouTube or whatever with us. Like, I don't know that there is, but it's interesting. I have the Civil Advantage channel back from the day, you know, it's a zombie channel. I haven't uploaded anything new there forever. Right. And I pay no attention. I just use it. That's kind of the account that I use to watch YouTube. And so there's no activity there. But when I go under my CCFR account under my Civil Advantage account, and I look at the CCFR, there's a lot of comments that I can't see. And sometimes I'll comment because that'll just be the account that's on there as Civil Advantage. And I go back there when I'm under the CCFR identity and I look and my comment's not there. There's just some weird stuff going on. And I've gone behind the scenes, like onto our control panel behind in YouTube as a CCFR. I'm like, do I have a lot of filters on there? Like I filtered out, I think the F word, a couple of the F words, you know, the C word, a bunch of other stuff like that, just because I don't need this, you know, garbage all over our comments because it doesn't make gun owners look any better, that's for sure. And so there's some things that if you're swearing a lot or you're using words, I think libtard, I put that one in there, your comment's not going to be there. I think it sits in for review, but unless I see that within 2 weeks or something like that, it just deletes it. So there are some filters there. So if you don't see your comment there, just make sure you're not using coarse language. I think some of it's allowed there, but anyway, you're not using coarse language or really demeaning language because some stuff will get caught in the filter. And then YouTube has its own stuff there too. But I don't even, when I've put a comment as civil advantage using, because I know what those words are and I don't use any of those. I'm just like, oh yeah, you can check out this, this, and this. Or yeah, in my opinion, it's whatever, like just a regular sentence. Sometimes it's not there. And then I go and I look and it's not in the for review folder in, you know, on our channel. So I don't know what's going on there. So if you have a comment and it's not there, whatever, it's not, I'm not deleting comments. I very rarely, I think probably deleted 4 comments in the last 6 years on YouTube just because they were so ridiculous. It's like, man, that is not helping anybody. You're not making any point, or, you know, you're just being abusive to other people or whatever. So just so you know, I'm not doing that, and it's spotty. So I don't know what's going on with YouTube. I don't know why I can't even comment on my own channel, right? If I were to call the CCFR my own channel, but I'm running it. So anyway, just so you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff. Also, I'm going to mention it when I talk to Tracy, but she will be in studio in person 2 weeks from now. So the next podcast that comes, and that's one of the reasons why you're getting this extra podcast now, other than there being a lot of stuff going on, she will actually be in studio in person. So you'll get to see the overall studio, what it looks like now that's a little bit bigger and it's set up. I'm hoping everything will work good, audio and stuff. It'll be nice and high quality, but you'll see that at the time. And then we're also thinking of doing like a CCFR sidebar if we have more to talk about. So if you want to provide that more to talk about stuff, so questions or, hey, you know, what led to, you know, you guys coming up, how did you come up with the idea to do election brochures, you know, and, you know, how did you make that happen? Or, you know, why are you actually doing a TV show? And I mean, like all of those things I've talked about, but in case, if you have questions like that, send them to me so that we'll have that extra content. Maybe Tracy and I'll do an extra video. And anyway, we're going to talk about it when I talk to Tracy, but, you know, right after this kind of thing. But send those questions or those areas of interest to me at podcast@firearmrights.ca, podcast@firearmrights.ca. And we'll see what we can do to answer some of that stuff. Okay. I think I've got through my stuff. It's like 18 minutes, but anyway, I got through everything. I'm going to bring on Wilson and then I'll come back just to say a couple of things before I let you guys go. Anyway, let's go to Wilson. All right. Via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
I will never, ever get sick of that.
I don't know. I had got a cramp or something when I was doing that one. Okay, we've got tons and tons, metric tons of stuff to talk about. And there's some exciting things here.
There's some bad stuff, good stuff. We're going to do it all.
For sure. So first thing we want to talk about is, okay. And I don't even know, we didn't practice talking about this. But basically, we had a program at the CCFR, and it was called CCFR Insiders, and it was basically people that that committed to donate $20 or more per month to the CCFR on an ongoing basis would be added to this group. And when it started, it was a Facebook group, and basically, those people would get a meeting, a private meeting with you and I, just the insiders and us, once a month. And the program fell off the rails. I had some problems, as most people know. But on top of that, we had been super busy in addition, and we kind of dropped the ball there. So, and I know I've got you on to talk and I'm doing all the talking, but.
That's okay. We did drop the ball on that one.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what happened was when I was like, oh, you know, these people are supporting us. We need to get back on the program because we just had a meeting and that one kind of got screwed up. Not everybody got included. And I was like, we need to restructure this. So I was talking to staffer Steve, and Steve said, well, you know, do you know how many people are giving us recurring payments? And it totaled a fair amount of money each month. And I was like, what? I had no idea so many people were doing it, and to such a degree. And I was like, okay, we cannot neglect these guys anymore. And at the same time, I thought, well, why don't we let people know, because we haven't for a long time, that such a group exists. So if you donate $20 or more to the CCFR on a recurring basis, you can do that on the website. You'll be added into this group. And now instead of a Facebook group, we're going to be just sending emails to that specific list. And Tracy and I are going to make sure that we do provide that meeting once a month where you can ask us anything or just talk to us or ask us why, you know, we've done some projects and not others, or tell me a story about what happened during the election or whatever.
Yeah, these are a lot of fun too, because it's sort of, you know, an unscripted, less formal hangout, more or less, with Rod and I. And it's a great time to ask your questions. It's a great time to sort of get the inside baseball on what's going on. And I think we're also going to maybe draw for some prizes every month, which would be fun.
Yeah, that was part of the idea originally, was to draw prizes. And so we're going to redo that entire program, and we're going to have prizes every time that we do a meeting. We're going to try to make sure that that's every single month as promised. And there's probably some other stuff that we'll come up with at some point to make it more interesting. So you don't have to enter anything. You don't have to fill out any forms. You don't have to do anything. Basically, if you do make a recurring payment of $20 per more a month, Staff or Steve will just add you to that list automatically.
Yeah. So you can do that through the donate link. Go to the donate link and you can click recurring monthly donations, and it'll just take care of itself. And Staff or Steve will add you into the group, and you can come hang out with us.
For sure. Yeah. And like I said, we're going to try to figure out some more stuff to do to make it even more interesting. Cause the help that people that do that, the help that they give us, make the CCFR possible. Like I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, and I guess in full disclosure, Tracy and I were talked about it yesterday, and we were like, oh my God, I can't believe we were neglecting these guys. I mean, obviously
I know
I've had a decent excuse for the majority of the last little while, but nonetheless, these are the people that donate money to the CCFR, that are members, that keep this whole thing floating and allow us to do the great things that we're trying to do. Anyway, there you go. All right. Now, there's a provincial election coming up in Ontario.
Yeah.
And we have the Liberals, when they're lagging in the polls, what do? They break the glass and pull out gun control, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so Ontario Liberal leader Stephen Del Duca did a big press conference yesterday with Mitzi Hunter, another Ontario MPP, and they announced that should they form government here in Ontario after the election on June 2nd, that they will be implementing a province-wide handgun ban on legal handguns owned by licensed gun owners here in the province. So, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about combating actual crime. However, they're really, really going to stick it to Ontario gun owners. So, I mean, looking at the polling, I don't think he's got a heck of a lot of hope. Doug Ford won a majority government in the last election. And of course, that was after 10 years of Kathleen Wynne government. So the Liberals were reduced to enough members that they could fit inside a minivan. So they've been called the minivan party ever since. My hope is to reduce them to a pinto, right? So anyways, yeah, so Stephen Del Duca came out with that announcement. He had some pretty sharp words. He basically blamed the rising violence, that we see in some of the urban centers in Ontario. He blamed that on Doug Ford. And and insinuated that, of course, banning our legal handguns would bring that to an end. Mitzi Hunter actually put a tweet up about his press conference yesterday, and she said that Stephen Del Duca is moving heaven and earth to reduce crime by banning our guns.
Yeah, it's just so disingenuous. It's so dishonest what they do. And I don't know, it's worked really, really well. Like, Justin Trudeau has hung on despite what an absolutely malevolent individual he is. He's held on this whole time. I guess if we were to be kind of honest with ourselves, there haven't been a lot of great alternatives, but he's really had a huge run based in great part by just deceiving low information voters by creating a cult more than saying like, hey, we got problems and here's the solution.
Yeah, like I don't know that any of Justin Trudeau's wins were on gun control. I don't think gun control is a winning issue one way or the other, depending what side you're on. Of course, it doesn't rank in the top, I think it was the top 13 issues for voters. So I don't think it's a real thing, like a real cliffhanger. However, I do think that with looking at the polling, I've been following the provincial polling. Doug Ford is polling to win by a pretty big margin, maybe another majority. So I think Del Duca was feeling a little bit desperate, and he thought, you know, I'll do something really bold. And he's, of course, looking up to Big Daddy Trudeau, and and wondering if he can get some of that success. So I don't think it will really work out the way for him, the way that he thought it would for him. And of course, he's not even the official opposition. The NDP is the official opposition here in Ontario, led by Andrea Horwath. So she hasn't really spoken about it, although they do have sort of an existing policy also supporting a handgun ban. But yeah, just the level of disingenuous rhetorical garbage coming out of these people was absolutely stunning yesterday. So yeah, we'll see. I don't think this will be the golden ticket that he thinks it is, and he may be sorry for that. I mean, there's about 650,000 licensed gun owners in Ontario. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, it's the usual stuff that you expect from people that that try to get power through, like I said, low information voters or urban voters. They scare them with guns. They just scare them into being like, oh my God, what if guns become legal? It's like they are legal. You know, what if the regulation stays the same? It's like they're already tightly regulated, you know?
And I know.
I just did an interview with Mike Smith on CKNW 980 in Vancouver, which is the biggest talk radio station in the Lower Mainland. And, you know, I told them flat out that every dollar spent and every hour spent chasing around licensed gun owners is a dollar an hour not spent solving the real problems. And just tried to stress, like, this issue has been around for a long time. It's been around long enough for people to know better. Like, it really has. I know that the media, they manipulate things by omission, right? They'll give us a little clip and then they'll spend an entire, you know, episode with, you know, an anti-gun person or a doctor. They wear their white coat to the studio and all this stuff. But people should know better by now, because, you know, if you listen to our arguments, they just make sense. It's like, well, 90% of the firearms in Toronto that they're seizing or finding in these shooting scenes are all from the United States. That, you know, Chief Raymer has said that. Acting Deputy Chief Demq has said that. Evan Bray from the president of the Canadian Chiefs of Police Association has said that.
Yep.
Licensed gun owners, not a problem. We got a problem with American guns. Who is that? Oh, yeah. Chief Dale McPhee, right? Up in Edmonton. He knows that criminal activity itself is the problem and that licensed gun owners aren't the issue. Like, they've said all of these things.
Yeah, the RCMP union, law enforcement.
Exactly, yeah. I almost forgot about them. And there was another, it was the Toronto Police Service Union as well. I've got a whole bunch of clips. Maybe I'll make a video or get someone to help me make a
compilation.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah. So anyway, I would hope that people at some point are just like, you know what, enough of this garbage. These people are feeding us lies. Obviously, if you have to lie, then you don't deserve to hold power.
No, absolutely. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got to start thinking about things like that, or we continue to get what we've got so far. All right. Number three. Okay. The Alberta CFO did some interesting stuff.
Yeah. There's a new CFO in town in Alberta. And of course, that is Dr. Terry Bryant. And she's been making waves. She put together a firearms advisory committee full of, law enforcement and stakeholders and firearms groups and hunting groups and all kinds of people. And she's put them together. They came forward with three specific recommendations for her. And she says she's going to adopt them all. Those recommendations were to cancel the 2020 firearms prohibition, or at least recommend that to Marco Mendicino. To help improve identification, tracking, and prosecution of firearms traffickers. I think that's a perfect target. And then, of course, also to improve social programming initiatives to address criminal behavior and addiction issues. A lot of times it's socioeconomic or drug addiction or things like that that lead people down the path of a life of crime. So those were her recommendations. Those would be better areas to allocate some funding. And in fact, I've got a really great quote here from her. I'm going to read it out loud for everybody in case they didn't have a chance to read the letter that she wrote to Marco Mendicino outlining some of these measures. She says, this is Dr. Terry Bryant. She says, even if the costs of implementing the gun ban can be constrained to just $2 billion, this sum alone could pay for some 12,000 person years of specialized law enforcement, regulatory, and social services personnel. Surely this would offer better value for the taxpayers' hard-earned dollars. So when you think about that, that's not 12,000 hours of work. That's 12,000 person years. So the amount of work you would do in a year.
Yeah.
That's huge. So, you know, it speaks to the massive wasteful failure of this gun ban and the incoming buyback program, if it ever gets off the ground. And so she's full speed ahead on this. So she's put that out. The anti-gun groups are not very happy. Polly Sassouvien tweeted about her in a public platform on Twitter, called her incompetent. So, yeah.
The whole gun debate is such a mess. Anyway, I'm not even going to go into that because we'll be here another 20 minutes and we've got more stuff to cover anyway. But that's really, really good news. And, you know, it's funny because where was that comment? I had it on a piece of paper somewhere. When I was on with Mike Smith, I wrote a note of things, a couple of notes of like, okay, touch on this. And it's like, it's when things like this happen, it's not like, yay, our side is winning. And when it comes to the cops that testified to the House Committee on Public Safety for that study recently that we talked about, DemQ and who was it? Sorry, it was DemQ, Bray, and Dale McPhee. It wasn't like, yeah, you know, they're on our side now. It's like finally people are being honest. They're being altruistic. They're going like, if we're really going to solve this problem, then we got to actually be honest about things. We have to push away the political pressure. And that hasn't always happened. It's always been the other way. These chiefs are under political pressure. And finally, they're like, listen, you keep demanding that I solve this violence problem. But then at the same time, you put all this pressure on me to just talk about licensed gun owners and not actually go after the 90% of the problem. You want me to focus on the 10%. So that's why these things are actually real serious victories, because it's going to help families and the victims of violence in these communities.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, we're all everyday average Canadians. We're all moms and dads and grandparents, and we all want a safer community. Talking about what's appropriate for civilian use for firearms is a completely different conversation than a conversation about reducing violence. So, yeah, I mean, you've got experts in law enforcement and you know, all kinds of people, even, you know, professors and people who normally sort of have an anti-gun sort of view on things are coming out saying, yeah, this is just stupid. None of this stuff's going to work. So,
It's funny that you say that, because I was just looking at some recent tweets from Ju-Young Lee.
That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah. And he was originally came out kind of more, well, no, I would say kind of an 80% gun control and then 20% root causes and whatever. You know, if he ever were to watch the podcast, you know, it's like, well, I didn't do any calculations to support that. Right. It's anecdotal. But lately it's just like it's almost as if. As a lot of people have, he's like, well, what is the actual truth? You know, I'm going to really dig into this and start looking. And he's like, wow, this is actually, you know, these crazy gun lobbyists have been talking about this stuff for the longest time. And I don't know that this is the case with him, because he seems like a very reasonable guy. But I think for a lot of people, they're like, well, you know, I was told that you're the NRA, and I was told that you're racist and misogynist, all these terrible things, you're extremists. Right. Because I've been listening to, you know, the Minister of Public Safety or other, you know, malevolent creatures circulating around out there. And then, you know what? I'm like, why isn't any of this stuff working? And I really looked into it and I found, oh, I see what the problem is. The problem is we're looking at 10% and ignoring 90%. So anyway, really, really, really encouraging. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point anymore.
But yeah, anybody who does credible research and who can be honest with themselves and with the evidence in front of them is going to come to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
And if they don't, it's because they have an agenda. So,
yeah. Okay. And second to last point. Okay. This is a fun one. Now we've dealt with all the depressing stuff. Let's talk about the fun stuff. A national range day coming up, specifically designed and executed by Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Tell us a little bit about that, Ms. Wilson.
It's literally a circus. Literally. So of course I can't do anything on a small scale. And I thought, you know, I want to also, I don't want to just preach about National Range Day. I want to do it. So I got together, I had a meeting with the executives from my local range where I'm a member here in Ottawa, Eastern Ontario Shooting Club. Shout out to the guys. They're always so great to deal with. And we had a meeting and I said, okay, I want to do an open house. And, you know, we had a meeting at Lone Star. So over dinner, we're talking about it. And I said, you know, it'd be great to have some stuff there for the kids. Maybe we can make a picnic area, do some face painting. And somebody made a joke about Banksy Castles, which here in Ottawa is probably code for something else. But I'm like, no, wait a minute. Let's actually do it. So I've come up with the most ridiculous idea. I just signed a contract today for all this stuff. But of course, we are going to have supervised, safe instruction with pistol, rifle, and shotgun for anybody that wants to come out and, of course, give the shooting sports a try. We're going to have some demonstrations by the Cowboy Action team. They've got a whole setup there. It's really cool. If you've ever seen Cowboy Action, it's like total Western set with the, you know, wagon wheels, and they've got the whole thing. So they're going to be doing demos throughout the day. And of course, you'll get to get up there, put on a cowboy hat and give it a try yourself. Then we're going to have a massive carousel bouncy castle. So the kids can get in there, jump around, have an awesome time. I've got a 2-story high inflatable slide coming, a 64-foot long inflatable obstacle course. The kids can go in there and run around. I've got carnival games and treats like candy floss, snow cones, popcorn, face painting. I got a picnic area. Vortex is coming down with a booth. We're going to have potato sack races. I'm going to have one bay that is just for kids, just with, you know, single shot 22s. We'll have some cute little steel silhouettes there and things that they can plink at. We're going to have little prizes for the kids. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. It's literally going to be a circus. So I just can't do anything simple. I've just got to make it ridiculous. So it'll sort of be our flagship event. I'm going to invite some local media and probably some local politicians, maybe even some city council members, because the city council in Ottawa is questionable. So yeah, I'm going to invite a whole bunch of people out, and we'll see what happens. But it should be a great time just to get all the families out there together, get to try the shooting sports. The kids can have a great time. It's like a carnival, but with guns.
Yeah, that's awesome. And all that to say, if you're looking for ideas for your gun club or your organization, or even if you're not going to have live fire there, maybe you're going to have just a bunch of booths, right, where the different disciplines can talk about their sport and why it's fun and have videos. Like, there's a lot. If you really put your mind to it, you can figure out a lot of different things that you can do even without live fire. But if you're looking for the biggest the biggest National Range Day out there, you know, look no further than what Tracy did. And so keep this podcast in mind. And, you know, if you're like, wow, those are a lot of great ideas, I don't know what happened, just rewind and write all these things down and take them to your gun club. You're running out of time to do something remarkable. And there is always next year. Okay. So if you don't get it done this year, that's fine. There's next year. But I think what all those things that you just said are really, really great ideas for people to think about doing at their own club is what I think what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, even usually at my ladies' range days, I usually have IPSC and Cowboy set up so that they can sort of do little demos. And then, you know, it's hard to run someone through an entire IPSC course if they've never held a gun, right? But you can give them, there's things you can do to give them a little try, a little taste of it. And so we're going to have that at the open house, you know, not entirely suitable to children, but the kids will have their own booth, and it'll just be a great wholesome afternoon of fun. Hopefully the weather holds out. But either way, we're doing it. And yeah, I think it'll just be a great opportunity to help educate some Ottawa families and normalize our sport, which is the most important thing. And I just love seeing everybody. It's been a long time. We've been cooped up. So
Yeah. Well, the number one way to get people acquainted with the shooting sports and to get them to think a little bit more deeply about why people own guns and whether or not it's appropriate to take them shooting.
So that's 100%. That's the number one way to change hearts and minds is to get them out to the range. So Absolutely. That's the idea.
Yeah. All right. Last is just a reminder. I think I said this in the opening, but you will be here to do the CCFR radio podcast in person the next time there's a podcast. So 2 weeks from now,
yes,
everyone can look forward to seeing you here in person in the CCFR studio in Chilliwack, British Columbia, to hang out. And then we will, raise mayhem here in Chilliwack. And if you want to ask Tracy or I some questions, or you want to say, hey, can you talk about this, or can you share some insight on that, then send those questions or whatever, or those requests to podcast@firearmrights.ca, podcast@firearmrights.ca. And we'll do our best to do it during the podcast. And if we can't, then like I said before, if you've been watching the podcast, I was thinking Tracy and I could do like a CCFR sidebar.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so that's extra content.
And don't be afraid to send tough questions. It doesn't need to be, well, what's our favorite gun? I mean, we'll answer those too. But yeah, if you've got some tough questions or something that you really want to talk about, send it over. We like the hard stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I'm even thinking, and I haven't made a decision or not, but we have to see how our schedule works. But we might even have a couple of drinks if we do a sidebar episode. I haven't made my mind up on that. I don't think I'm just kind of springing that on you too, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, it is no secret that I do enjoy a nice glass of wine. My hubby brews it for me, so I love it.
Well, mm-hmm. Sergeant Saunders will be with us and thus a yes. designated driver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, Tracy. All right. I think we've been at it for 24 minutes, so we better wrap it up. So really, that was a really exciting update, and I'm glad we did it, even if it was a week early.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of great things to talk about. And I will see you, I guess, in 2 weeks in person.
You will literally see me in 2 weeks.
Awesome. All right. We'll see you then. Thanks for the update.
All right. Bye for now.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 115 of the CCFR radio podcast. As I said before, if you have a question that you want to ask Wilson and I, just send it to podcast@firearmrights.ca. I think you've heard that now three times in this podcast. So now's your last chance. You got 2 weeks to send whatever you've got. And I just want to thank everyone for supporting us. And I want to thank you for trusting us to represent you out in the world. Tracy and I did a lot of media in the last couple of days. I was on CBC. I did a quote for Globe and Mail. I was on with Mike Smith. I know Tracy did two other radio interviews. We did a fair bit of media with this gun ban, with the Ontario Liberals. And I just want to thank you for trusting us to represent you in the public eye. It's really meaningful. And I want to thank you for supporting us and our big ideas, right? They cost money. There's a lot of risk in paying for these things, especially when you have something like a lawsuit that you don't know how much it's going to cost at the end. And if it weren't for all of your support, we probably would have had to drop the case at some level or just stop doing the things we were doing and wait to the end. And you guys have enabled us to go every step of the way. It's not me. I can't credit myself. It's you guys. So I just always want to tell you how much I appreciate that because it allows me even personally to come up with big ideas and to actually make them happen because I couldn't do it by myself, right? I'm worthless by myself. So anyway, I just want to say that. Okay, if you want to become a member of the CCFR, you can do so or donate to the CCFR or become a CCFR insider by donating recurring $20 a month or more. You can do all of that stuff at firearmrights.ca. Don't forget to send me your questions. Take care, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.